One year on, dozens of grieving families, hundreds of injured, disabled and traumatised, as the City of London marked the first anniversary of the bombings that killed over 50 people, Britons across the nation observed 2 minutes' silence and held public and private memorials for all those affected by the attacks. Floral tributes were laid at the sites where suicide bombers blew themselves up on 3 underground trains and a bus, and bells tolled at the exact time the bombs exploded on the morning of July 7, 2005. A public memorial ceremony was held in central London's Regent's Park, while not far away in Westminster Cathedral, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor spoke at a requiem mass for all the victims and their families. As he acknowledged the pain of those who lost loved ones in the attacks, he also spoke of the hope that faith brings to those who refuse to let death have the last word, those who defy the logic of terror and continue to fight for peace, for justice, for an end to such hatred and fear.
The world in which we live today is being characterized by violence and war and terror. We need to restore peace into the dictionary and into the lives of the young people who will carry the world on.
Marie Fatai Williams lost her only son, Anthony, in the blast that destroyed the number 30 bus in London's Tavistock Square. He had been due to return to his native Nigeria for the holidays, but instead Marie flew to London. And standing at the site of the bombing with a picture of Anthony in her hand, she spoke of the pain of all parents who lose children to such senseless violence. Hatred begets only hatred, she said. It's time to stop this vicious cycle of killing.
And later on that night, when others had left, my husband now told me that Anthony would not be in a position to come back to see us. We would have to go to see him where he was. And I said, why? And he said, because Marie, the worst that we imagined has happened, and Anthony can't come to see us.
1 year on, Marie still finds it hard to speak of her family's loss, of the fear and uncertainty as they waited for confirmation that Anthony was among the dead. As a devout Catholic, she spent those days in prayer, struggling to hold on to her faith, despite the suffering she continues to endure.
You see, the first thing I asked in my solitude was, God, where was Anthony's guardian angel when this happened? Because we heard that he helped other people. He showed them where to go out of the underground, put some in the right buses. And I said, Lord, if he was doing this for others, couldn't his guardian angel have guided him right or stopped him in his track or make my phone calls to him at the time, reach him so he would stop? Because at the time when I called him from Lagos that morning, he must have still been alive, but just maybe getting ready to get into the bus. But then at the same time, it is all of this that makes me realize, therefore, that there must have been a reason for this. God that I serve, a good and faithful, loving God, does not kill, but he allows some of these things to happen so that we might see and learn lessons. And if he has brought this to my doorstep, it means he wants me to do something about it. And I said, Lord, thy will be done. Use me as you wish, if it is for your peace, if it's for the greater glory of your name and for humanity, so be it. And if Anthony lives, like you tell me in my heart, that Marie, he lives. It means it's not in my own terms, but in God's terms, which means he lives forever. And that's my faith. That's what I had professed. This has been a hard case test of my faith. And I choose to believe that Anthony lives with our Blessed Mother.
You've also been doing a lot in a very practical way, haven't you, since that tragedy? You've set up a foundation for peace and conflict resolution. Tell us a bit more about this, what its aims are, what you hope it will achieve.
Yeah, I have set up that foundation. I wrote to the Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, and he accepted to be a patron. Yes, We intend to work for peace, religious tolerance and harmony, mutual understanding, and then we intend to facilitate multi-faith dialogues. We intend to work with young people, youths, sort of get, hopefully, Global Center for Peace and International Understanding going, so that young people can come together from across the world and across faiths to come and learn how to resolve issues in a non-violent manner, because the world in which we live today is being characterized by violence and war and terror. We need to restore peace into the dictionary and into the lives of the young people who will carry the world on. And like the late Pope John Paul II said, peace rests on two pillars: commitment to justice and forgiveness. And I use that as a guiding principle. I also use the fact that he said, young people of this millennium should not be afraid to be the saints of the millennium. And if so many young people who are being killed all over the world are banding up in heaven, then they must be saints, because they are innocent victims of war and terror. And we cannot let them die in vain. We've got to be able to fight the battle for them by keeping them alive and doing that which would bring peace and not more and more killings in the world.
Marie, you've also written a book, haven't you, called For the Love of Anthony.
Yes.
Is that really, as you say, to try and help you keep Anthony's memory alive, or is it really for other people who are struggling with similar kinds of tragedies?
Yes, it's more than keeping Anthony's memory alive. It's to show other mothers, other people out there, what this terror or violence can do to a family or to someone like me. There are many Maries out there. Many mothers cut across the world, cut across creed, cut across nations, that are not able to voice out what has happened to them and their loved ones. I stand by the grace of God to represent them and let people know what it is. And at the same time, show that we can choose a path that is different from other paths, that is the path that leads to peace and bring out good from evil, instead of continuing the vicious cycle of hatred and a life for a life each time.
You must think often about those men who chose to take your son's life and the lives of all those other people who died on the 7th of July. What is your message to those who helped organise those attacks, those who still see this use of terror as a way of achieving their aims?
I ask them what aims, what cause has been served. Okay, they've killed Anthony. As far as I'm concerned, they killed his body and not his spirit, because he lives on and I live on. So, but what cause has been served? How many more converts have they to the cause? What reckless killing of innocent victims got to do with whatever cause? On the contrary, you drive away people who maybe have had any sympathy or for anything you said you were doing when you do things like this. It's not the way. It's very important for everybody to sit back, pull away from the edge and take stock and say, how far have we come? Are we succeeding, or are we just walking in an infernal cycle?
Finally, Marie, as you say, you have reached out to other families, other mothers, other parents who've lost children to conflict, who've lost children in such a violent way. What is your message to those grieving parents, those grieving families today?
Yeah, this book, For the Love of Anthony, is dedicated to not only the victims of 7/7, but to all mothers whose children have been lost innocently in war and terror. All I say to them, let's stand up for what is right. Let's stand up for our loved ones in peace and in humility for our common humanity. Let us call out and say enough, enough, enough is enough, because we can do it. We are the mothers. We are the women. We feel the pain, and we gave birth to these children. We can't just stop and stare and flop. We must rise up for something positive. It is very important to love and to show the way in spite of all odds. It's a difficult task, but they say from little acorns do great oaks grow. So let's contribute our little quarter, like the proverbial mustard seed, and let it grow and give shade and succor to others so that they may not know the pain that we have known.
You have the prayer of St. Francis, don't you, written on Antony's tombstone?
Yes. It is a very important prayer in my life. Make me a channel of your peace. I've always prayed that prayer, but I never knew that I would one day come back or have a reason to actually live or walk the talk. And so it is a prayer that I cherish and I hold dear. My daughters know it, they sing it. And that, and another tune that I know, which is, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that he holds my future. My life is worth a living because he lives." Those prayers, St. Francis' prayer, this one I've just told you, and the fact that I need your grace, for your grace is enough for me, Lord. Those are the pillars that I hold on to and that see me through every day.
There's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, oh,
Marie Fatai Williams, whose son Antony was killed in the London bus bombing of July 2005. Her book, entitled For the Love of Antony, was published by Hodder and Stoughton on the anniversary of those attacks.
To be consoled, to be